a new friend. We have greatly enjoyed their ministry. These are good people. These are good local church people. And I noticed some of the pastors from South Africa that came, you like to dance. They were taking lessons from the dancers earlier. He's a good guy. And I think we're related. You will join the Kalboayan Club. Somebody will tell you what that means later. Folks, we found a new friend, and I want you to open wide your hearts. These are good people. Can you open up your heart and welcome Pastor Dag Mills, please?
Let us pray. Father, thank you for today. What a blessing we have to serve you. What a blessing we have to be in your presence. We are grateful, dear Lord. Touch our lives today with your power.
Let's close the doors.
We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be here this morning. How many know God is going to touch you today? Wow. I want to introduce some books. I have a book here called Demons and How to Deal with Them. I was preaching about that last night at the main campus, but I didn't get a chance to introduce the books. So this one is a very important book, and this is also called The Blood of Jesus, Blood Power. There is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And this one is called Catch the Anointing. Very powerful book on catching the anointing. Without the anointing, you cannot do much for the Lord. Amen. And many other books. Very popular book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. And The Sweet Influences of the Holy Spirit. The Sweet Influence. You know, the Holy Spirit is very gentle. So when the Holy Spirit is present, people don't know that they are being influenced by the Spirit. I found many times that I was being led and controlled by the Spirit, but I wasn't even aware of it myself. And the Holy Spirit affects many areas of our lives. So anybody who is really interested in learning about the Holy Spirit, this is the best book that you need to get. Amen. And this one is the popular book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. This is my most popular book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. And I have another book here on the anointing. I believe very much in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This one is called Steps to the Anointing. How many want God to touch your life and anoint you? Wow, only 7 people. How many people want the Holy Spirit to touch your life? 16 people. How many want the Holy Spirit to touch your life? Okay, everybody now wants that. And this is a very powerful book on the art of leadership. Wow. Being a good leader is a very important thing. And this is one of the best books ever written on the art of leadership. So get a copy. It will be a great blessing to you. And finally, The Art of Hearing. Hearing God. Many people cannot hear God. And you need to hear from the Lord to be able to do His will. Without hearing from the Lord, you cannot do His will. And when you hear from the Lord, you become supernatural. Because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when you start to hear and you are led by the Spirit, you become a son of God. Which means you become superhuman. Like you end up being right in many of the things you do and the decisions you take. It makes you go above the ordinary. So that's what the Bible means when it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You change from an ordinary human being to someone who is superhuman. Amen. And I see another book here called The Art of Following. I have so many books I've been writing over the years. We have over 10 million books in print. So these books are being read and written, read and enjoyed in many languages also. But they are all here today. I believe a book is very important. Why is a book important? Because God so loved us, He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us and left us a book, the Bible. So for 2,000 years, we've been knowing God through a book. No one here can tell me you know God in another way. It is through the Bible that we all know about God. So it's through reading a book that we've got to know about God. So books are very important. So pastors especially love books. Amen. So it would be a great blessing for you. Get some books, and I know God is going to touch your life. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you about salvation and healing. Amen. And I'm going to share with you from a very popular story. I believe that is going to touch your life. And I want you to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. The Good Samaritan. Hallelujah. Jesus answering. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down, Luke chapter 10 from verse 37, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his garment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by him on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by him on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. Everybody say the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine. All right? And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy to him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. Can I have an amen, please?
Amen.
Now, this is a story that many of us know, but it's a good story to remind ourselves of and to be healed, to be blessed, and to be saved. Amen. The first point is that, like the man from Jerusalem, the man who was going on a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, you are on a journey of life as well. Amen. This man, I saw that you've been going to Israel. So when you go to Israel, you'll see the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And you see that it's a particular road, it winds a bit, and you come to the first town outside Jerusalem, you find Jericho right there. And that was a road people used to walk on all the time. So next time you go to Israel, make sure you watch for the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. How many are going to Israel this year? 1, 2, 3. Don't forget to look out for this road, okay? Now, this guy was walking on this road. And just as he was walking on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, You are also on a journey. Everybody say, I'm on a journey. Where does your journey start? Your journey starts when you are born. And your journey ends when you die. That's the end of your journey. Your journey starts when you are born. And your journey ends when you die. When you die, the day you die is the end of your journey. Okay? And many people don't want to think about the end of the journey. But you need to think about the end of the journey. Because if you don't plan for the end of the journey, you may get into big trouble. Because the end of the journey is as important as the beginning, if not more important. Because you must ask yourself, how is it all going to end? One day there were two frogs that were living in a river. Do you have frogs in the Philippines? Yeah. There were two frogs living in a river, and the river dried up. So the frogs, two of them, decided, let's go and find a better place to stay because it's so dry here. So they left the riverbed, which was really dry, and they started a little journey. And then they came across a well, a deep well. And one of them said, oh, let's jump into the well and, you know, live there because there's water there. It's going to be water. But the other frog said, what about if we jump into the well and the water dries up? How will we come out? Are you listening to me? So you realize that these two frogs, one was thinking about the future. How are we going to do if there's no water in this well? Because how are we going to come out of this deep well? You know, so some people don't think about the end. Some people don't think about the future. Some people don't think about the end of the journey. But you got to think about the end of the journey. You don't have to be like the frog who said, let's just jump in. And you don't think about what's going to happen in the future. What about if you can't come out and there's no water? You're going to be in big trouble. All right? So with most of our journeys, we know the beginning and we know the end. But in this journey of life, all right, no one knows the end of life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 12 says, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare of the net, so are the sons of man that are snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly on them. To be a Christian is to be aware constantly of eternity. Because in this journey, you all know your birthday, but you don't know your death day. And, you know, I remember one time I was in America and I went to the cemetery and I saw these people that were buried there. And I think the family had bought the place to be buried. So the husband was dead and then the wife was either not dead. So they would write the two names. So if you're going to be buried there, they'll write whoever was dead. I remember one grave, the wife was dead, but the husband wasn't dead. So they wrote her name, Jane, so-so and so, lived from this date to this day. Then the husband who was alive, they wrote his name, born on this day, and then dash, and then there was a space there, waiting for him to come and fill in the gap as to when exactly he is going to come. When he comes, then they fill in the space there. Hey! So most of us don't know what to fill in that space, isn't it? But so the Bible says, you know, because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God. So you must ask yourself, are you ready to meet God today? If you die today, will you be ready? You know, will you be ready? Will you go to heaven or to hell? Hey, what about if you go to hell? You know, there is, when the Bible talks about the rich man who went to hell, and the Bible tells us that when the rich man descended into hell, he wanted to come out. You know, he wanted to escape. He wanted to send a message. But the problem was, the problem is that there is a road from earth, from Manila, to heaven. And there's another road from this earth, Manila, to hell. But there is no road from hell to heaven, or heaven to hell. So if you, wherever you go in, you are stuck. It's like the frog who jumps into the well. When you get in there, you are stuck. So you have to ask yourself, are you ready to meet your God? Some people feel that, oh, death is not, now, I mean, I'm too young to die. But when you go and stand under a mango tree, you see green leaves and brown leaves. You don't only see old brown leaves, you see some green leaves as well. That means that fresh young leaves fall to the ground and older leaves also fall to the ground. Not only old people who die, anybody can die at any time. And that is why you must be prepared to meet your God at any time. And that's why you must be born again. And you must register in the book of life. And you can't fool around with God and just be religious. Just come to church, you know, I just want to massage my conscience and come in, come late and go early and just, you know, fill in the gap and say, Lord, I've marked my register, I was there. You know, but it's not about marking a register, it's about whether your name is in the book of life. You know, a lot of people are in churches today, but they are not born again. Yeah, the Bible says there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. All of them were virgins. All of them were attending the same wedding. All of them were in the same church. All of them were wearing virgin's clothes. All of them were bridesmaids. All of them had oil. All of them had lamps. Everybody looked the same, but there was a difference. And when the bridegroom came, that difference made all the difference. And that difference was a small thing. That was a real difference between them. So we may be sitting in church today, everybody looks the same. But there's a difference in the heart and the soul. That's why it's very important in your heart. Bible says, examine yourself and see whether you are in the faith. Yeah, you can't joke with this. Death comes at any time. I remember one time I was working in the hospital. I'm a doctor. I was working. The first time I went to the mortuary. What do you call it here? Mortuary, morgue? What do you say? Morgue. Okay, I was in the morgue for the first time. When I had to do some postmortems as a student. I mean, I was taken aback when I entered the place, because I thought I was going to see just old people. Hey! But I saw there were babies, little babies, newborn babies, dead ones. There were like 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds. There were 10-year-olds. There were teenagers, and then there were old people. And the first person I performed the postmortem on was a 16-year-old girl. And I knew, as she was lying on the table there, that she never thought her journey of life will end at the age of 16. That's why the Bible says, prepare to meet your God. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? What shall it profit if you gain the whole world and in the end you lose your soul? No. You can't make that mistake. You are not going to make that mistake in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are on a journey. And make sure you are conscious that of the fact that your journey can end at any time. One night I was on a flight from Senegal. How many have heard of Senegal in Africa? You've not heard of Senegal. Check your geography books. You find it's a country, right? I was flying out of Dakar, Senegal. Dakar is the capital of that country. I had a crusade. And the flight was taking off at about 11:30 to midnight, 11:30 in the night to Paris, Air France. Air France to Paris. So I got on board. The president gave me a car and security and everything. And they took me right to the door of the plane. So we took off around 11:30 in the night. And I was very tired because I had been preaching. Then at about 2 a.m., as we were flying to Paris, there was an announcement on the intercom. And they said, is there a doctor on board? Is there anyone here who is a medical doctor? Please, can you identify yourself? So I thought, you know, there should be another doctor on board. It cannot be me because I'm very tired. But after a couple of announcements, because I was sleeping and I could hear them announcing, I had to own up. I said, okay, I'm here. I'm a doctor. So then they called me, please come. And right across from where I was sitting was an older man. He was sitting in his chair like that. He was sitting by his son. His son was flying with him. His son was sitting by him. He was sitting by his son. And when I looked at the man, I checked his pulse and everything. To him, he was dead. He was gone. He was normal. He walked on board. He came on the plane. A Frenchman, he walked on board. Everything was okay. But that was the day and the moment his flight and his journey was ending. In the middle of the air at 2 a.m. in the night. And his son said, he just ate. He ate. Everything was okay. There was no problem. He had his dinner like everybody else. We all ate, whatever. And then he stopped moving. And that was the moment where the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho was ending for this man. I checked his pulse. I checked so many things. I said, he's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, you must ask yourself whether you are ready at any time to end your journey. Because you know the day that you started your journey, but you don't know the day that your journey will end. And I know today you are going to be ready. Because God brought you to this service so that you'll be ready to end your journey at any time in glory. Hallelujah. Now, as this man went on the journey, all right, he fell among thieves. Hey. That is the nature of our journey in this life. Falling among thieves. Problems. Look, there is nobody who has come into this journey who does not fall into trouble. How many have seen some problems since you were born in the Philippines? Only 6 people have had problems in this world. Hey! Huh. Job chapter 14 verse 1 says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh in like a flower, which means when he comes, he's so nice, so rosy. Hey! And he's cut down and he fleeth as a shadow. Wow. So ladies and gentlemen, no one can say you will not see trouble in this life. Hey! If you've been around for at least 12 years, you start to see troubles. 12 years, I give you just 12 years. You start to know and understand trouble in this life. The Bible says he fell among thieves. He fell among thieves. The Bible tells that the devil is a thief, and the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you are part of this life, if you are part of this world, you will see trouble. You will need help. You will need miracles. You will need grace. You will need the help of God if you are part of this world. If you are part of this world. I don't know anything about you, but I cannot tell you, if you are part of this world that we are in, you will need God and you will need help throughout your life. Hallelujah. So this man fell amongst thieves and he fell into big trouble. Now, there came a priest, a pastor, Hey, when the pastor saw the troubles, he said, no. I don't want to get myself involved with the trouble. You know, many of us don't want to get involved in people's troubles. You see, Pastor Samuel is asking us to go and help with the feeding program. And some of us, we pass by. Because we are the goody-goody prosperous people. Because you are in the South Campus. Are you not the more prosperous campus? No, I'm asking you, are you not the prosperity campus here? Yeah, you are the prosperous campus. But you see, when God blesses you and you become a priest and you things are going well for you and you see somebody in trouble, you see people want to pass by quickly. It's like you don't want to look there. You don't want to see whatever is happening there. But that is wrong. Then the Bible says a Levite came along. A Levite. He was not a priest, but he was like priestly. Like he was not a pastor, but he was in the church. He was a deacon. He was a leader. He was something. An elder. He was in training. He was in the choir. And he also passed by and said, I don't want to get involved. No, but you see, Christians cannot close our eyes. We cannot close our eyes to trouble. Christians cannot close our eyes to trouble. When there's trouble, when people are poor, that is when Christians must rush in. Because Jesus died for the poor. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you don't know, I'm telling you, he's anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. So poor people are very important to Christians. And then came a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a half-breed, like myself. You see, I'm half-half. Half African, half European. My father is from Ghana, my mother is Swiss. So I'm a Samaritan. The Samaritans were half Jewish and half Moabite or something. They were a mixture. So they were not accepted. Like me, many places I'm not accepted. When I go to Africa, I'm not accepted as an African. They call me a white man. When I go to Europe, they call me a black man. So I don't belong anywhere. I belong to the sea now. I'm in the middle. True. So then came someone who was not really accepted in the society. And he saw this guy who had fallen among thieves. Many people in the Philippines have fallen among thieves. When I say fallen among thieves, they've found themselves in difficulty. And Christians, after being saved, are supposed to rise up and go out to the 200 million people in this country and preach the gospel and tell them about Jesus Christ. That is why we are still here. If you don't know, I'm telling you. God did not send his son into this world so that you could have 10 houses or become a millionaire. That is not the gospel at all. That is nonsense. That is nonsense. Don't even believe that kind of stuff. God did not send his son into the world to make you a rich person. That is garbage. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is why God sent his son into this world. If you don't know, you can check your Bible out why God sent his son into the world. God didn't send his son into the world to make people prosperous, make us rich. But he wants us to prosper, but that is not the reason why Jesus came to die on the cross. Come on. Read your Bible and see what is written in the Bible. So it is our duty to go out there after God has done something for you, to go out there and tell others and show other people the love of God and the power of God. That's your work and that's my work. That's why I'm preaching. People ask me, how can you be a doctor and stop practicing medicine and be a preacher? Because it's my duty to tell other people about Jesus. It's my work. It's my duty. After God has shown me such kindness. You know, but unfortunately, people like the priests and the Levite, those who you expect to do this will not do it. Will not do it. And are silent and change the message of the gospel into something else. Wow. But here comes the Samaritan. And he came in with two things. He came in and poured in the oil and the wine. Why did he pour in the oil and the wine? Because the oil represents the Holy Spirit and the wine represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is very important because the blood, Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no way you can be forgiven. Your sins cannot be forgiven. Christianity is a religion based on blood. What can wash away your sins? How many here are sinners? 16 sinners here. Wow. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins and my sins. Yeah. How many have told a lie before? A lie. You told a lie before. Wave quietly in the church like this. How many have told about 100 lies since you were born? Like since you were born till today, you've told about 100 lies. Give me a wave like this. Yes, many, many of us. Some of you are not raising your hand for 100 lies because you've told about 1,000. 1,000 lies. That makes you a liar. How many of you have stolen something before? Hey, you don't want to raise your hand? How many have stolen chicken from your mother's stew before? Your mother's kitchen. Raise your hand. You took it and your mother came and there was no more chicken in the food. It's finished. You thought it was vegetables, but there was chicken originally in it. It's turned into vegetables. How many have been jealous before? Only two people on this line have been jealous before. One, two. Hey! You see, so what do we have here in the South Campus? Jealous, lying, thieves. That's what we are. And what can wash away these sins? The blood of Jesus Christ. He says, by the blood of, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Cleanse you, clean you. The blood of Jesus cleans us. Without that cleaning, you can never go to heaven. No matter what is preached and what you practice. Good works cannot take you to heaven. Being a good person cannot make you go to heaven. No matter how good you are still a sinner. No matter how much I preach, that cannot take me to heaven. One day maybe you'll hear that I am dead. Or I will hear that you are dead. We don't know who is going to go first. But one day when you hear that I'm dead and I'm gone, when I stand before the gates of heaven, I'm not going to say, open the door because I'm coming in because I have been preaching. No. The same reason that will allow me to come into heaven is the same reason that will allow you to come into heaven. Is that we are washed by the blood of Jesus. I say, please open this gate for me. The blood of Jesus has washed away my sin. Better open. I'm coming in. Wow. Because it's not by works of righteousness. It's not by what you've done or what you haven't done. It's by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this man came and poured in the blood. The Bible says we are redeemed by the blood. It says, for the life is in the blood. Where the blood does not go, there is death. The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, the life is in the blood. There is power in the blood. I said there is power in the blood. That is why the man poured in the blood. And that is why Jesus wants to pour his blood into your life and wash away your sins and write your name in the book of life. One day I was in the hospital, and my professor called me. He said, come and have a look at something. And when I went, there was a man lying on the couch, naked. And he said, I should touch his leg. I didn't see anything abnormal on the man. He said, touch the leg. Then I touched it, and he said, touch the other leg. So I touched this leg, and I touched this leg. And immediately I noticed the left leg was warm and the right leg was cold. Hey! I said, what is this? And he showed me. So I said, this is a very strange thing that has happened to this man. He said, this man had an accident and something hit the leg and cut the blood supply in the thigh, you know, so that But it happened internally. So blood has not gone into the leg for some days, even though he's alive. So the leg has died. Yeah. And we had to amputate the leg because the blood had stopped going into the leg. You see, when the Bible says, for the life is in the blood, where the blood does not go, there is only one thing, death. Where the blood of Jesus does not go in the Philippines, there is death. All the people there will not find Jesus, will not be saved, and will go to hell. There is death. Where the blood does not go, there is death. Because the Bible says the life is in the blood. The blood contains the life. The life is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. The life is in the blood. The blood contains the life. So in that man, the blood stopped going there. So it's like the body of Christ. You see that we are selfish. We are passing by people who are dying. And they need this blood. But we will not take the blood anymore. Pastors will not preach the gospel. We don't preach about Jesus. We don't preach about salvation. Always preaching about money. Wow! I tell you, and Christians are not prepared to do anything for God just to come and sit in church and receive blessing after blessing every Sunday. We just want to sit and receive more and more and more and more. And we pass by people that are half dead. Bible says the thieves beat him and he lay there half dead. We are passing by people that are half dead. The whole world is half dead, waiting for this blood, waiting for this blood. Where the blood does not go, the whole area dies. We are sitting there, passing by, prepared to do nothing. We are building a church here. You wouldn't give your money. Some of you have a lot to give. You just give dribbles and peanuts. You just give little change. When we are trying to do something for God and trying to build a house of God for people to come and worship, you pass by, you may be a millionaire, you have whatever, you just give little drops. We pass by, we don't want to get involved. The man was lying there half dead. 200 million people in the Philippines waiting. Many of them like this man, half dead, hoping that somebody will stop by. But everybody is too good and too righteous and too nice and too posh. Hey, are you listening to me? I don't care if you don't like my message, I'm still preaching. Yes. Too posh to dirty our hands and get involved in the real work. We are feeding people, you wouldn't lift one finger. You just pass by as the people half dead. We sleep in rooms. We have everything. And people have nothing. We wouldn't stop. We are the nice Christians of today. Wow. But there was this Samaritan. Thank God for... Some of you have been rejected in life. Many times when God is going to use you, you are rejected. That's why God uses you. Because you are first rejected by people. And that's when you see that God picks you up. Because man rejects you and God accepts you. And even though people said, oh, let him go. Let her go. She's nothing. Useless. Then God says, I like you. And this Samaritan was a reject. He was not accepted even in Israel. But he was the one who came and poured in the blood. Poured in the oil. And today, I'm telling you, God is calling us. Because he has been kind to us. He has blessed us. We are passing by people who are half dead. Half dead. Half dead. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Half dead. They beat him and left him half dead. They are, when I say half dead, they are living, but it's like half of life is not working. Yes. Then he also poured in the oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Healing. Miracles. Power. The Bible says, who is like unto God among the gods? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. God is a God of wonders. God is a God of wonders. That is why he didn't just pour in the blood, but he poured in the oil, the power of the Holy Spirit, doing wonders. God is a God of wonders, miracles, power. You never see Jesus without power. You never see Jesus without miracles and healing. Amen. Are you okay? Shall I pray for you? Are you leaving? I pray for you before you go. Let me pray for you now. Give me oil. Give me oil. Father, thank you for mercy for this lady. Thank you for your power and the oil. You see, I'm pouring in the oil. Jesus said, the Bible says, and you shall anoint them with oil and pray. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Father, thank you for healing power and mercy. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The man came along and poured in the oil. Hallelujah. What does the oil speak of? The oil speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is like unto thee, O God, among the gods? Who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. God is a God of wonders, fantastic miracles. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, you see him ministering to people. Hallelujah. One of the people that he ministered to through the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit was the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says this woman had an issue of blood. That means that she was bleeding for 12 years. You know, today there are problems that worry us for years, 12 years. But there comes a day when the power of God will end that struggle. And that day is today, this morning. This morning ends years of struggling with chronic things and issues that don't want to be solved and don't have solutions. Today marks a day of miracle ending of a problem. Miracle ending by the power of the Holy Ghost. Miracle endings. Miracle endings. Yeah. Yeah. You know, many years ago I was building some little basement in our church. And I had an engineer, a Liberian engineer. And I asked him what he was going to do to solve a problem. And he told me something. He said, every engineering problem has an engineering solution. Every engineering problem has an engineering solution. And I tell you, every problem has something that can solve it. And I'm telling you, every snake You know, you think that snakes are so powerful, but every snake has something that conquers it. Hey! There is a bird called a secretary bird. Secretary bird. That's why you should respect your secretaries. Secretary bird. When it sees the vipers, it just steps on them. It's finished. Huh? Yeah. Like that big problem that you have, there is a power that can solve it like this. Pa. It's finished. The thing you see a snake, everybody here, when you see a snake, you run. Is it not true? Do you run from snake here or you eat them? What do you do? You run. Okay, that's how we do in Ghana too. We run. You know, but the thing that you are running from, there is something that can just step on it. I watch it on a film. I clap. I said, wow, what a bird. I want to have such a bird in my life. Today, I want to tell you, whatever problem you have, there is something that can solve it. And that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus can solve every problem. The Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How many believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? And this woman, 12 years, she was suffering. Bible says she suffered many things at the hands of many physicians. Hey. The doctor will tell you, do this. After that, do this. After that, go here. Do this test. Bring your blood, bring your bones, bring your eyes, bring this. Hey! Different maneuvers. One thing that you have. You are going up and down, paying money. And she was nothing bettered, the Bible says. Today, every long-standing, listen to me. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen. I'll say it again. I say the prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen. And I'm telling you, today marks the end of old problem in your life that has been worrying you in the name of Jesus. Tonight, today marks the end of it. Believe it. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen. And the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she decided to come to Jesus. Now, there were people with Jesus, and she came in the press behind and touched his garment. You know, why did she touch his garment? Because she was a Jew. You know, she knew that the anointing was poured on the garments of the priest. So the priest is then, he's anointed from the head, and it flows through his beard and onto the garments. So she knew that the garments of an anointed person are also anointed. So she didn't want to bother to touch anything but to touch his clothes, because the anointing runs from the head down through Aaron's beard and onto the garments. So the garments are also anointed. And she knew that if I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So she came in the press and she touched him. And the Bible says, and immediately she felt in herself that she was made whole of that plague. Now you see, faith people, they say there's no feeling. Like, oh, I'm not moved by what I feel. Hallelujah. But in this scripture, you see that there were feelings. Many times people experience, I felt warm, I felt hot, I felt something happening, I felt this, I felt that. You know, sometimes you don't feel anything, but there are times that you have feeling. And this woman, the Bible says, she felt in herself that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus also, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? And Peter said to him, how sayest thou who touched thee? Seest thou not the crowd thronging thee? You know, because you see, there are people, they are around, but they never receive any miracle. You can be close, but you will not receive, because you are so familiar that you don't receive miracles. But today, there's a turning point in your life. I said, today is a turning point in your life. Today is a turning point in your life. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will come to pass. Amen. Listen, when I leave this place, you are going to find that you are going to refer to this morning that there was a change that took place from today. I say the prophecy you believe is the prophecy that is going to happen in your life. The one you don't believe is will never happen. The one you believe is the one that will happen. And he said, who touched me? But Peter and Co. He said, what are you talking about, miracle? Why do you say miracle? And Jesus said, somebody touched me. I know it was a touch of faith. Faith, anytime you're approaching a man of God, have faith in God. God's power is working. God's power is working to heal you. Have faith. Don't touch with it. You know, sometimes people touch with a touch of lust. They'll caress you. That's a touch of lust or a touch of love or something, you know, or a touch without any emotion. But this was a touch of faith. Like, I believe that I'm being healed. So touch faith. One day I shook hands with somebody in my church, you know, and she did not bath for 2 days because I shook hands with her. She believed so much in that I had touched her and that the power of God was on her life. She did not want to bath, so she did not bath for 2 days because she had touched a man of God. And I'm not surprised that God used her. And she really believed in the touch. She just a handshake. That's it. I'm so blessed. Wow. And then she came forward and she said, I'm the one who touched you. Today you are the one who is touching Jesus. Amen. Today you are the one who is reaching out and touching the Lord and saying, Lord, I am the one, I am the woman, I am the person who is being healed today. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. And Jesus turned him about and said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. What you believe is very important. You know, not what money you have, what you believe. In fact, when you die, it's what you believe that's going to work. Your money will not work, but what you believe will be very important. So those who have faith are those who are going to go to heaven. Yeah, so what you believe is very important. Faith is a very great thing. What you believe affects everything about your life. And that's why Jesus always told your faith, you know, your faith, it was your faith. You know, it was not your money. It was not your school. It was not your training. It was your faith. I want to point out to you that it was your faith. It was what you believed that really helped you this morning. And today, remember, Jesus is pouring in the oil and the wine. These are the two power, these are the two power keys that Jesus comes to you with. He comes with the blood and he comes with the oil. He comes to save you and he comes to heal you. Hallelujah. And those of us who God has touched already, it's our duty to remember those who are half dead and say, here I am, Lord. Send me and use me. And not to always say, here I am. Send him. Send them, Lord. Send them. Send. Here I am. Send them. Send someone else. No, you have to say, here I am. Send me. I want you to stand to your feet, everybody. Stand up, everybody. Listen. I want to pray with you in a moment. We are going to pray for miracles also, but I want to pray with you. Just close your eyes, everyone. Listen carefully. Remember, when I started, I was telling you, all of you who are listening, watching anywhere else, listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Nothing can make your sins go away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can make the sins of your life go away. Only the blood of Jesus. Today as we stand here, that's the great miracle. That's the greatest miracle. If you are here this morning and you are not born again, what I mean by born again, like if you die today or you die tomorrow, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. I really need to pray with you then. It's very important. Because nobody knows when the journey of your life is going to end. Nobody knows. If you are here today, you want to say, Pastor, I want the blood of Jesus to wash away my sins. I want to go to heaven. I don't know God. In fact, I'm not sure what will happen to me if I was to die right now. If you are here like that, you want me to pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to be born again. This morning, what do you say, Pastor, help me to know God. I don't want to go to hell. I want my life to be with God. I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. If you are here like that this morning, then just lift up your hand wherever you are standing. Just lift it up high. God bless you. Don't think about anybody. Just lift your hand. I'm going to pray with you. I see all your hands. I see so many hands, even in the choir, at the back there, everywhere. I'm not sure, Pastor. I want the blood of Jesus to wash away my sin. I want to give my life to God. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm not sure. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ this morning. Then I want your right hand to be up. Your right hand must be up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands. Now, if your hands are lifted up, I want you to do one more thing. Come to me with your hand up like that. Just come here. I'm going to pray for you in front here. Just come. Come to me right here. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. Come on to the front. Come to God. Come to Jesus. Give him your life today. God bless you. Come to Jesus. I want to pray with you. Don't be just religious. You need God. You need the blood. You need the oil and the wine. Come on. Come to the front. Come this way. Let me pray with you. What a blessing. Come to God this morning. Come to Jesus. Come on. Come this way. Come from the back. Come from the side. Come from wherever. I want God. I want to give my life to God. Come on. You need the blood. You need the oil. You need the wine. You need God. Let him have. Come on. Come all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Come unto Jesus. Give him your life.
Give him your life.
Listen, look at me for a moment. Listen, can you imagine being in a service like this today and possibly one day maybe dying and going into hell after hearing what you heard? I don't want you to make that mistake. If you're still standing in the congregation, you want to say, Pastor, I want to put aside my pride. I want Jesus to come into my life. Come on to the front. I'm giving you one more chance. This is your last chance. Come to Jesus. God bless you. I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on. Today is your day of salvation. Give him your life.
Him your life today.
Come on, my friend. What are you waiting for? Come on to Jesus.
To Jesus. Let him.
Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. Recently, I led somebody to Jesus, a young lady. I prayed with her. It was a Sunday morning like this. She died 3 weeks later. They brought me a picture. They said, this lady is dead. I said, why? How? Who is she? She said, this is a service. You were leading her to Jesus. We didn't know she was going to die in 2-3 weeks' time. You see, you never know when your journey is going to end. You must be ready. You must be ready. That's why I'm giving you this invitation. Because I need you to be ready. Because you know the day you started, but you don't know the day that journey is ending. Lift your hands. If you still want to join them, you still have a chance. because I don't want you to go back after this service and you'll be scared. You'll be thinking, I should have gone. Maybe why didn't I go? I should have gone. What was I thinking about? Why didn't I go? Why didn't I give my life to Jesus? You can still come as we pray. Lift your hands. Everybody in the congregation, lift your hand and say this prayer with me. What I pray, pray it after, please. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
I come to you.
I come to you.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I am lost.
I am lost.
But today,
I
open my heart.
And I receive Jesus.
Say, I receive Jesus as my Savior,
my Master,
my Lord.
Heavenly Father,
please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Please cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Today, I receive the blood of Jesus. To wash me,
to cleanse me
from all my sins.
Thank you, Father,
for saving me. Lift your two hands, say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
for dying for me,
for loving me,
for forgiving me.
From today,
I belong to Jesus.
From today,
I belong to God.
I will serve God.
I belong to Jesus.
Thank you, Father,
for saving me today.
Please write my name
in the book of life.
Say, my name is.
Mention your name.
My name is.
Please write this name
in the book of life.
This morning,
I register
in the book of life.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus,
for saving me
and writing my name
in the book of life.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
Now say it. It's very important that you say it. Say after me, Satan.
Satan,
listen carefully.
From today,
I will not follow you again.
I will not obey you again.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
And I will serve Jesus Christ.
Lift your hand, say, thank you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I am yours now.
I belong to you now.
I will serve you now.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing.
Now,
where did they go? What did they do? Who is here?
After service?
What room?
Yada.
Listen, there is a room called Yada. Everybody say Yada.
Yada.
Say Yada again. Are you serious about what you just prayed? How many are serious?
Yes.
As soon as we close, every one of you go straight to the Yada room. There is something that we have there for you. Don't say, I don't need it. You need it. It's very important. It's as important as coming forward. Because if you bother to take the first step, you need to take the second step as well. Don't say, look, I mean, as for me, I know. You don't know. You don't know. That is why we need you to come to the Yada. We need to talk with you. We are going to pray with you. And we are going to help you to become a real and a strong Christian. Can I have an amen from somebody?
Yeah.
What a blessing. Hallelujah. So please go back to your seats. We are going to pray now for healing and for miracles. Amen. Wow. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. We have just 3 minutes left, but I want to still pray. Wow. He's pouring in. What are the two things he's pouring in? I can't hear you.
Oil and the wine.
Wow, what a blessing. Now everybody stand up. I am the Lord
that he loved thee. I am the Lord, your healer.
I send my word.
I send my word.
Oh, and I heal your disease.
I am the Lord, your healer.
Pray for you, wheelchairs and whatever, come to the front quickly on this side here. Some of you came, just line them up here. Wheelchairs and all kinds of conditions, the power of God is here. Now listen, let us pray for a moment. Place your hand where your sickness is right now. This is a miracle time, please. Apart from these wheelchairs and very, very sick people coming in the front here, I want us all to just place your hand wherever you're sick. Please, we just have 1 minute remaining. Just park right here. I'm going to pray for all of you and lay hands on you. So today is a miracle time. Hallelujah. Wow. Please, all standing, and no one else should come to the front for now. Just stay where you are. Just stand where you are, please. Please, 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 stand where you are so we can pray. I want to pray now. Thank you. I'm going to pray with you. Everybody, are you there? No more walking, please. No more moving. Lay your hands wherever your problem is. If it is your eye, put your hand. Listen, somebody with a breast lump or breast cancer is being healed. God is touching you. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Place your hand wherever your problem is. Somebody's being healed in the eye as well. There's an eye healing that is taking place right now. Place your hand on your eye. Power of God is here. Power of God. Somebody here, you've been sentenced by the doctor to die. But today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are not going to die. The day that you are expected to die, you will never die. In Jesus' name, God is extending your life. Wherever you are, whatever problem you have, put your hand there right now. As we pray, Father, thank you for miracles that are taking place. Heal, heal and deliver. Thank you for pains that are disappearing right now. Thank you for miracles that are taking place. Receive your healing. Receive the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Father, we thank you. Thank you for healing angels, healing power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is moving in our midst. Lift your hand and just thank God, everybody. Just lift your hand and thank God for He's a healing Jesus. Thank you.
I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord that healeth.
I am the Lord.
I am the Lord, your healer.
Now listen, close your eyes for a moment. Whatever problem you had, begin to check yourself right now. Check yourself. Let's say you had a pain. Begin to move. You couldn't see. Open your eyes right now. Many things are taking place right now. Power of the Holy Ghost is here. It's happening. It's happening now. Not in the future. Right now, something is happening. Receive it. Receive it. Receive the power. You could not walk. Rise and be healed. Whatever problem you came along with, something is happening. The power of the Holy Ghost is moving in this place. Receive it. Begin to check yourself right now. Check yourself right now. Something has happened. Something always happens. The power of the Holy Ghost is here. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for miracles, healings that are taking place right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Right now, wherever you are, if God has touched you,
every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has touched you, not that you are believing it will happen in the future, but right now you can sense that something has happened. God has touched you. If you are here and you can actually sense that something has happened, and maybe you were even healed yesterday or whatever, but you can actually see that something has happened in your life, just lift up your right hand like this. Just lift up your right hand. God has touched you. Not that you are believing it will happen in the future, but right now you can actually sense that something has happened. Lift your hand like this and come to me. Just come to the front. If God has touched you, just lift your hand like this and come. Come, my dear. Come. Oh, don't be afraid. You can actually sense that something has happened. You need to come to me very quickly. I'm going to take just one or two testimonies. If God has touched you, you couldn't hear, you can hear. You couldn't see, you can see. You had pain, the pain is gone. Right now, come quickly.